I forgot about it, but I will watch it tomorrow.
Bad songwriting. One day, I was smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and upload it to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
When is reading for information? It's like listening to a book. Like, I would listen to a book about this information-driven or self-help at 2x speed. But I wouldn't listen to Lord of the Rings at 2x speed. I'd listen to it the way it was intended.
Lord of the Rings, right? They go from here to there, done. Fucking, they got a ring and shit.
They just walk. They just
done.
Walk.
Good. Over evil. I got everything.
One ring. Rule them all. That's it. Got it. I understand.
Totally understand. Ladies and gentlemen, this is...
And Hobbit Feet.
The Deranged Penguin Podcast. Del was just enlightening us about how any piece of anything can be boiled down to its essential parts, and that's all you really need.
He said that's life.
You don't fucking need shit else. Take that with you. Don't even listen to this podcast. Del's just telling you right now, this is the essence of this podcast.
It's about penguins.
Move on. Fucking done. Penguins podcast, got it. Done.
It
what's
kind of
next?
There's a difference. Next. This podcast is art.
2x speed. Let's
go. You can't
go.
Understand the art just by hearing the title. You have to connect. You have to invest yourself into it.
You gotta
understand. It's not like reading an article that says, here's what is happening, and here's I'm going to write 40,000 words to reinforce.
This is a long response to a longish article. It is like a long form article.
Longish article that to me was not interesting, so I didn't take the time to read every word and treat it like Anna Karenina, I think was the first thing that it was compared.
Some broad name Anna, get it. Fuck, what's next? Let's go. War and Peace. Battle.
1984, all about Prince. Done.
Fucking let's go. I got chairs to sit in. I got places to be.
So
Laurel, Mississippi is happening, man.
This article clearly moved Adam to a deep place, transcendent place. I took him to a higher plane. So I want you to explain to me what it was about this article that you found.
Look,
to me, that you think that it was worth reading every little word and it was important to read every little word. I missed the nuance.
I said maybe read the thing before you're just like, yes, it's French girl in the title. Get it. It's about French chicks. Got it. Let's go.
Was it clever? Was it clever?
Maybe if you read
was
it.
Was it funny?
Maybe if you read it, you would know.
It didn't seem like that kind of article to me. And it seemed overly long to make his point.
I'm
just going to be honest. I want to be on it. Adam's team here, but.
Brad read it.
No.
It's fine. It wasn't an article.
Yeah, as I'm saying, look, it's fine.
Tina, what did you think of it?
I didn't read it.
So maybe Adam's just taking out his frustration with you.
I'm not even frustrated. Look,
I didn't claim to read it either.
Gina's saying, yeah, I didn't read it.
I even tried to read it.
Brad's saying, I didn't really like it. I can take those things. What is shocking and hilarious to me.
I know what it was talking about.
Del just completely dismissive. Like, I fucking got it. You know what? I didn't read it, but I practically did read it because I looked at it. That is what's hilarious to me. Like, I haven't read like a ton of these books.
Del has that power. In there.
Yeah, Del just goes fucking title. I get it, bro. I fucking get it.
That is better than you. He doesn't have to read the whole thing.
That's
the takeaway.
Just accept it, man.
That just made me laugh so hard.
Accept that you know.
It is what it is.
Right, why I'm awesome. We hadn't done it in a long time.
Yeah,
just to fill everybody in, and maybe. But, you know, what was interesting to me as it pertains to this podcast is different than, like,
what's
hey, you
this
guys
article
should do
called?
This.
What are we talking
it's called
about?
How to Sell a Billion-Dollar Myth Like a French Girl. And this...
A billion-dollar myth such as the myth of a French girl, or in the way that a French girl does?
Yeah, if you read it, it talks about all the articles that are like how to do anything like a French girl, like how to have sex like a French girl, how to eat like a French
girl,
how to exercise like a French girl, and how everybody says this French. And it talks about how French style is like universal because they sell the same shit to different parts of the country. Everybody's obsessed with France. It talks a little bit about why, how that came to be, and what that means for a French person, the pressure on a French woman. You're a French girl, right? Do you actually do that? And like, well, some don't.
Mm-hmm, they have pressure.
Yeah, and they're like, actually, we kind of like New York or London or Brooklyn style. They talk to some people that do that. So all those things are interesting. As we're talking about here on the show, it's a little bit different. It kind of ties into some of the things that we talked about previously about how, like, nothing matters. Something like Del was saying.
And the grass is greener.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, we could kind of pick up on some of these things. Maybe how you also wanted to be a French girl. I don't know. But, you know, it talks about, like...
I wanted to be a French girl.
Hard. Man, it's hard to do.
It talks about, like, Brigitte Bardot.
You need to be a French man.
And it's also funny, it says a lot of the French girl looks are by chicks that are not even French. They just, like, moved to Paris. Anyway, typical. We could have had a great discussion if we
it's funny.
But right now we're just talking about how Del just fucking knew this already.
Brad,
it's funny because...
God, it's Paris baguette.
What do you think, Brad?
Let's do it.
When they were describing the quintessential French girl style, all I could think of was Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah,
or Mary Tyler Moore. Like, that's what it was, man. And, yeah, sure. Like, it reinforces the discussion that we had earlier in the podcast history, which is probably like 2 years ago, about how Americans are obsessed with French style and think it's the pinnacle of style, and French people or Japanese people think America is the pinnacle of, like, you know, style and withedness, and like depending on where you are is somewhere else, never where you are, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how it ties into our interest. But the actual article is just about the appropriation of French idealism to sell products like Garnier.
You know what Del's doing right now? Del's using his intelligence. He's using a little bit of context clues. And he sounds like, I feel like the teacher that knows the fucking book. And there's a guy that's like, yeah, I read it. It's about, you know, like our struggle with our, like, you're just fucking bullshit.
Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm full of shit.
I mean, I'm not, because the entire
Animal Farm about, Adam?
Because it was right.
Farmer? Fucking farmers, man. Like, we're like, you know, pigs and shit. I get it. I totally see what
I get the context of the article. We can discuss, but I don't see, like,
Brad,
what in that specifically can you pull out that was a good representation of something to talk about. Give me a quote or
Brad,
something.
What did you get out of it?
I kind of summarized what I wanted to talk about and how we could get it.
Brad,
you just asked me a question.
What did you get out of it? You read it, right?
You read it a little bit.
I read it. I didn't really get that much out of it. I mean, I really didn't. Like, it's sort of... I mean, honestly...
Shit, I'm sorry I didn't read this, man. What?
I sort of feel like it was exactly what Del said.
Oh! That's weird.
Did you really read it?
It's not...
Did you read the title? Shocking,
yes, I read... Yes, I even read it. Really?
I
no,
said,
I just read the clip.
I said, did you really read it?
He read. I sent him the
quick
my cliff notes. My cliff notes.
Yeah.
I read
random ass
Dell's notes.
Yeah.
Oh
God. That was hilarious. You guys make me laugh. I don't know.
That's two out of three.
I will say this, they look the same dude. Look at him. They're the same guy.
It did make me think about how susceptible I am personally to advertising and marketing. That is one thing that sort of came up for me that I was embarrassed about. For myself, okay. I was like,
I want to talk about a little bit about that.
French girls too.
Yeah, you know what? That's what was interesting about it, Del. I read it. And I had a lot of these ideas. Like, I don't really care about the fashion industry. But that part, I was like, hey, there's lots of stuff we could talk about if we all read this. Like,
let's
Brad
talk about
said,
it.
Like, Brad just did that. No, you can't do that now.
We
you
can
just
bring
want to summarize
it. But I can bring it. No, I can bring in some alternative points of view from Daniel Kahneman, who wrote Thinking Fast and Slow, which is all about that. Which is all about that, how we're manipulated by...
Thinking fast and sometimes you think slow. Mm-hmm. I get it. Sometimes you're sleepy, sometimes you're awake. I got it. Totally done.
I'm just saying, like, let's talk about it. I can have done.
Now, I want to hear about you moving. Why are you moving? You just moved in.
I am moving because my sister is moving in with her fiance and about to get married. And she's moving out. And so I'm moving. I'm going to take over her apartment. And it's just a little bit more private. It's a little bigger and more.
It has windows.
I don't know. It'll be mine, you know. And also, does it have windows? I think it has the same number of windows this apartment has, which is one. And
are you guys in prison? Are you and your sister in prison?
That's pretty standard, I think, for an apartment that's on like the inside of a building, right?
Yes.
Right.
But an inside of a building in Laurel, that's crazy.
I know, that's weird. I know it's weird. It is. So this is like the building in Laurel. So I'm moving up there, and it's mostly because my mom and sister moved their office up to the second floor to the right adjacent to this Airbnb / apartment / ex office thing, and they want to be able to use it to use the bathroom and as a chill out space and stuff. So they were like, "Hey, I'm going to move here so you can have my apartment." And I was like, I kind of like where I'm at.
Yeah.
Did you feel the pressure?
Moving again.
I think that's the most interesting part of that entire story is like the family dynamics. Like, you got to get somebody to do something. How do you do
right.
it? You know?
Right.
Like, did they bake you a cake and be like, "Hey, Del"?
No, they buttered me up a little bit. But it is a better apartment. I like it better. There are pros and cons to this one. Like, here I can hear kind of like the din of noise of the cafe and stuff and people walking by. And so I kind of feel like it's like going to work at a coffee shop or something, you know?
Yeah.
You feel like you're in the mix around stuff, and that'll be a lot more private, but ultimately it'll be better because that's super annoying when I don't want to hear it or I don't want to be, you know, around a lot of noise and you can't get away from it. So
yeah, it's irritating as well.
It'll be better. And it works. It kind of dovetails into the way things are headed right now for me, I hope. And so, like getting a good full time job here and stuff. And so I'll be able to,
They got jobs there in Laurel?
What?
I didn't think they did.
Full time music worship leader position at First Methodist, which is like right across the street. I'll be able to walk to it and stuff.
That'd be awesome.
So, yeah, it'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Hey,
congratulations! What?
Wait, hold on,
time
out.
You know?
Let's not have a personal conversation here. So I want to ask Del if he knows why all the places are called First, and if why like they're like first places.
The first is because it's
like the only one.
When they built like the Baptist church, it was just the Baptist church, right, in X town. And then another.
Like I never see like the fifth one though.
They're like Houston's biggest Baptist church is Second Baptist, but it's really a colloquialism. Like, so somebody would split off and build another Baptist church, or another Baptist church would come move in or whatever, and so people would say, "Well, the First Baptist Church, you know, the original Baptist church is what they meant." You know?
Yeah, I know. I understand that. What I'm saying is that like I never see second or third, but I definitely never see fifth. You know what I mean?
They stop the numbers after that. You don't want to be known as Fifth Baptist.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. Like, they just start calling it what?
Just name it after somebody else.
See, I feel like I don't know. I call it the original.
Redeemer Baptist or Redeemer Presbyterian. Like, they started thinking of creative things to differentiate Redeemer. But first became kind of a designation of pride of being like, we're the first, therefore we're the best, we're the original. And
we're more Baptist. Whatever. You go all the way deep, 6 feet dive every time when you get baptized.
But at this point, it has, to me, it has negative connotations because to me, it means it's trapped, mired in formality and history and tradition and is inflexible and unable to adapt to.
Don't tell your new employer that.
Yeah. Well, I won't.
That's Del Describes Religion and the Deranged Penguin Podcast. That's cool. Did you do anything for Independence Day? Did you celebrate the birth of America?
Are we done talking about moving already?
Well, you got more stuff about moving?
I mean, what else is
there? Yeah. I did.
I don't even have anything to move. Yep. I'm probably going to buy a purple mattress, though.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want a purple?
Yeah, I have a purple seat cushion. They're pretty awesome.
Yeah? When are you going to buy it?
Is it a name brand thing?
Purple? Yeah, it's a hyper elastic polymer thing that's... It's like insulation. Memory foam on crack sort of thing.
Interesting. So it has a bad habit and sneaks off and steals your shit in the night? What?
What?
That seems like a weird...
It'll blow you.
You have to have an intervention with it.
That's strange.
Probably in the next month or two, man. Soon. You know, soon if I get this job, I'll buy it.
Are they crazy expensive?
Cool.
No, they're $1,000 or less. And that's the thing. There's this new sort of movement of mattresses that are rated as highly or higher than $3,000, $3,500 mattresses.
Is it the kind that comes in a box? And then when you open it, it like expands?
Yeah, expands, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've heard those advertised on a few podcasts I listen to.
Is it time to get a new mattress for us?
Were you supposed to do that, like, every 10 years?
I don't know, man.
I think we're, on year 7 or something.
Because this is, like,
I'm working on borrowed time here, man.
Yeah.
This is not our first mattress.
Yeah, isn't it, like, you're just sleeping on yourself?
This is
like
our second mattress.
Just, like, a formed you there. Just, like, a hardened you.
Yeah,
this is our badass memory foam mattress.
Sweet. Memory foam, you can see all the ways I've slept.
Sleepopolis.
I remember.
is a good website, sleepopolis.com, to compare and review my mattress. Sleepopolis.
Yeah, so
Sleepopolis. Why do you feel like you're going with purple versus, like, ghost or one of these other ones?
On the reviews, Lisa.
He saw a French girl in one.
L-E-E-S-A and purple are the highest rated, basically. And the dude's like, these are equivalent. They're just kind of like what you want to do. And the purple one,
it's purple. Sort of.
Yeah. Their ads are pretty corny, but, it comes with its own, they have a custom base for it and stuff. It's just fewer steps that I need to figure out to get it. I may end up going with Elisa, but it sleeps. I'm a hot sleeper. Like, I sweat regularly and stuff. And
sleeps
so
real sexy.
Yeah. The way I lay is hot. So
spit it up, man.
It's one of the coolest sleeping mattresses. Like,
man. So I was watching Slow West the other day, and they're out there sleeping on the fucking ground and shit. Right. Like, just, their bag and stuff, and I was thinking, man, we really have it made here, right? We don't gotta like hunt a rabbit for breakfast or nothing. And then I hear Dell here, like, you know, make a hot sleeper, and I need a really cool mattress. And so, I've just been thinking about this. I mean, that's just not really a knock on you. I've been I was saying stuff like that about myself all day, but it's just more funny to poke fun at you.
I mean, sleeping on the ground is better for you.
Yeah,
right.
Nah, not me, man. It hurts my bones.
Not me. It might be better for you.
Did you have anything else to talk about moving, Gina?
I mean, we've moved on. It's fine.
We don't. I mean, like, it's fine. We can.
I'm good. Mattresses.
How's the unpacking going?
I mean, I was just gonna say we talked last time about the junk drawer and how it becomes the junk box, and I feel like we are at that stage. We have like 5 remaining boxes that will not unpack themselves.
Yeah.
And who cares what's in there?
Every day. Like,
I'm missing like 3 pairs of pants, and I know they're in one of those boxes, and I don't care at this point. I'm just going to wear the ones that I found.
But are you bold enough to throw away the 5 junk boxes?
No, because that involves work too.
Yeah, that's the
thing. I think they are now shelves.
Because it involves work.
There are art installations. They are now shelves.
Yeah, because part of the thing is I got the new Weber grill out here, and I didn't break down the box because I was like, fuck, I got to break it down and like take it to the front.
Tired.
I was like, fuck it. I'm tired.
We did
mention the junk drawer, and I said it becomes a junk box and possibly the junk trunk, right? Already, one of our cars has Christmas items, and
that wrapping paper is going to stay in there until December.
Yeah,
when I need it.
I looked in there.
Now
I
know where to find it.
I was fully energized the other day. Right, I woke up, had some coffee, I felt good.
What did you do with that energy?
Well, I got bit by a mosquito while I was out there, and I was like, fuck this. I'm going back.
What do I need, malaria? Forget it.
It's like, you know, like a Saturday, you're like, you know what?
I'm what is this, back. Africa?
I'm going to do something fun.
Let's watch and a then, movie.
I mean, so then I was like, if I'm going to get bit by mosquitoes, I'm going to be doing it like grilling. That's for y'all, too. Y'all say grill out.
Grill out.
Yeah.
Grill out.
Y'all grilling out.
That's not what I say.
What do you
I
say?
Don't say that.
Don't
you
say lie.
That. I know just you say did. Grilling.
Yeah, see? Same shit.
If I'm going to grill, I'm just going to grill.
You don't grill out.
You don't grill out.
Cooking out.
Out.
Cooking out.
I say barbecue, and I think that's because I'm a Mexican. And I think like Gina's family, this is like cookout.
Cooking out on the grill.
What are you trying to say?
That you're not Mexican?
Calling us black?
You describing
you
me?
You know me like that.
Anyways.
Does that make Penny a Blaxican?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Mixed use. Yeah, so like, you know, just that's what happens, guys. We did kill some mosquitoes. They're not as bad. But by the way, that lawn, I think that one of you guys asked or like bet that the lawn was going to be shit. I have a small patch of grass. I have raised it from the earth.
You have fucking weeds.
That was Brad. I didn't say that.
There are a lot of weeds, but the minimum amount of effort that we put in, we got the minimum amount of grass. It's not the greatest. So,
but it's ours.
Yeah, we had to do. I had to throw some topsoil on it and shit, and you know,
we're gonna have a miniature picnic on that grass.
Yeah, it's fucking tiny ass little Barbie style.
Just careful
one.
Not to smush it.
No. Oh, God damn it. So that's what's up with that. That's like last time you listened to the show, you were wondering, what the fuck?
We had a beautiful patch next? Of grass.
Perfect. The cliffhanger.
So, are you going to do anything with your small patch of grass? Are you going to put like a retaining wall in and maybe like...
No.
Build a fire pit?
I think it's for the birds. Like, literally. That's a phrase, too.
The patch of grass is for the birds.
Like, what are you, 48 years old?
Like, get worms?
Hey, grass is for the birds. No, it's like right under the bird feeder that we put in, so it's theirs.
It's a poop catcher.
Yeah, yep. Right now.
That's why it's growing.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were having fun with our new grill, though. Made some steaks, made some burgers, made some eggs, Valenciana. That shit was good.
What was the last word phrase you said?
Eggs
Valenciana.
Don't know what that is.
That was real good.
On the grill?
Yeah.
Grilled eggs?
Yeah, I mean, you just throw a cast iron pan on there.
Yeah. And black beans.
So fried eggs on a grill?
No, you do black beans, you saute onions, green bell pepper, and then you add black beans and diced tomatoes.
Yeah.
And then once that's all cooked up and good, you like... Break dig in eggs. A few little holes and drop your eggs in there until they cook, and that's done.
Then you eat that shit. There was some jalapenos in there, and that shit was good.
Fried eggs?
No, they're like they come out like over easy, kind of almost poached.
Yeah, and then on the other pan, we had another pan there, and that we put bacon on. Now, like you might ask, like, what's the fucking difference? You could have made bacon over there on your stove, guy.
What is the difference?
Well, the difference is that there's not a lot of smoke in your house that doesn't smell like bacon.
It's true.
But what if you want your clothing to smell like bacon?
Is that your favorite part?
Or you just lean over it. You know?
You just dab a little behind the ears.
Yeah. Just really bacon. And we hadn't made bacon in a while. And that's the best time to eat it. Like, you haven't had bacon, you almost forget what bacon tastes like.
Yeah.
And you taste it like, God, why don't I eat only bacon? You know?
Because that
shit is... Yeah. Good.
Then you realize why
really
they put
good.
It in everything.
Yeah, it's cheating. That's why.
But it's
like,
not good.
Because you'll die in a month if you eat, if that's all you eat.
That'll
be the best
how
month of your life.
You
know?
Stay alive.
It would be pretty awesome.
We got a new documentary
know,
idea,
man.
Guys. Living
I
on
feel
bacon.
Like bacon has to be pretty much the worst thing that you could eat a lot of. But I don't know. Maybe somebody should
worst,
try that.
It's the worst for your body, but it's the best for your taste buds. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, this I'm very
your
happy.
So good. Anyway, that bacon was good. The fucking eggs Valenciano were good. We had some flank steak the other day. Like, we had steak and eggs in the morning. That was good. Like, I can see the end of the road where I'm going to get tired of fucking dragging that grill out there and cleaning it afterwards and doing the whole shit. But for right now, it's fun.
Good run.
Yeah.
You clean it?
More like the ashes and shit. And yeah, a little bit. You're supposed to clean it a little bit.
Scrape the grates off.
You don't want to have like fucking 10 years of burger.
That's the flavor.
Yeah.
Well, you scrape it. You scrape it at when you're making the burgers next time. You scrape it right before you put it on the grill.
Yeah, I mean, you know. But yeah.
Still, and it has that little thing that you turn back and forth to get the ashes into a container in the bottom. You have that?
Yes.
Yeah. Still gotta do it.
And then you just let that thing fill up and start overflowing, and you just don't worry about it. That's what I do.
The ground will catch it.
Nah, I get ground. It. And I throw it away every time. You know,
I'm that That's guy. That's impressive, man.
He's own it.
Yeah. And see, like, eventually, then you don't, and you just leave the grill out there, and then you're like my uncle.
And you stop putting the cover on.
Hasn't
it.
Hasn't moved in
you
20
just
years.
Let it get rusty.
It's still there.
You know? Right.
And then it's just lawn art.
Yeah.
Art.
My mom tried to give me that, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck this is.
I'm gonna make the rules.
Fucking sitting out there, it's got spiders in it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I like, I'm glad that my grill is functioning now for the first time in like 7 years.
All right, so wait, rewind. You got your grill, like your wife gave it to you, and then you had to build a house for it or something?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's still not even complete. Like, I haven't finished putting the veneer on it.
Fucking veneer.
Veneer? It's
fucking. Altar to barbecue.
On a grill?
Is it an armoire?
Will you take pictures and send that to us?
Yeah.
Your
yeah.
grill wardrobe?
Yeah. I lie in it.
I have to take it to the dentist and get veneers put on.
Before I put my chic black and white outfit on.
But I do love having a grill.
What's the last but three now, things you cooked on it?
Burgers. I mean, I've done chicken, but that wasn't my last three. I've done burgers the last three. All that I've done is steaks, burgers, and chicken so far.
Oh, yeah, we had some chicken.
And then, like, stuff for burgers. Like, I've got a cast iron skillet that I'll put out there and, like, do, like, onions and, you know, peppers and mushrooms and stuff to put on burgers.
We've mentioned this before. Do you guys like a lot of fixings on your burgers?
Sometimes.
Some.
It depends. I mostly like
not
just
a lot. Pickles.
Yeah,
I mean not a ton. Yes, I guess.
I'll use salad next time. I don't need a salad on my burger. Do you want to say something?
No, I like the salad on the burger actually.
Mustard and pickles, but then if you have caramelized onions and sauteed mushrooms, that's like you can put all that shit on there.
It's not caramelized.
That's what I'm talking about.
Caramelized, not caramelized. Del, you were gonna say something.
I care about caramelized.
What was I gonna say? What were you talking about?
His armoire.
Yeah.
The armoire grill.
That he puts mushrooms in.
We made chicken and we also grilled up some corn.
Oh, chicken.
That shit was good.
Chicken is such a pointless thing.
I'll tell the chicken and all the chicken eaters.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't find chicken. I don't enjoy chicken. Like, what? Chicken itself. Like, sometimes chicken is flavored well, and I enjoy the flavors that go on chicken, but
it's just like a flavor.
If I'm going to grill
vessel.
Something, to me, like, it's a pain in the ass. 99% of the time is too dry, and it doesn't taste that good. Fucking steak tastes awesome when you grill it.
You know, I want to call you a crazy person again, but sort of got my number for the second time.
The grill's not the perfect place for chicken.
I agree. The grill is not a great place for a chicken.
Yeah.
I think like roasting chicken.
Curry. Like, or yeah, like a rotisserie chicken. Mm-hmm.
That can be amazing.
Yeah. A rotisserie chicken is awesome as shit. I will agree
that
with you.
That is some
there.
Good shit.
I used to get a rotisserie chicken at Kroger.
That Kenny. Kenny Rogers. That guy. He knocked that out of the park.
Yeah. It's just grilling chicken. Meh.
I mean, it's, I think
not
it's
the
like
best meat.
You got to get good at it. So we tried it, and like the thing about like this grill that I got is that it, you know, it's kind of hard to figure out how hot it's going to be every time and like the position I put it. So, you know, you can't get it exactly.
Which just translates to you don't know how to grill.
Oh my God. Look, is I didn't that? Fucking build a, I didn't build an edifice to it. No, I put it in the middle of the backyard, you know. But no, so we made chicken. I said that, right? And the first time, like you cook them to a safe temperature, right? Like, what is it, 165? But then it was a little, it wasn't that great. Then I got them up to, like, 190, and them bitches were awesome. So I disagree with what you're saying, though. Although, I mean, yeah, like
maybe I've just never had Adam's Perfectly Grilled Chicken.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is true. You've never had it.
But
I mean,
game changer.
I would say that's the thing. When about people say
I'm
like,
gonna grill some chicken, I'm like, I don't care. I don't even want to participate in that. I will never grill chicken.
That's the least exciting thing never. In a barbecue.
Yeah, well, the chicken. We talked about this. Yeah, this is a follow up to like 2 years ago.
But roast that chicken.
That I don't trust a guy, just any old person's chicken, because it probably sucks.
Amazing.
I don't trust their burgers because they're gonna be like hockey pucks.
Burgers are often the worst thing at a barbecue.
Yeah, you gotta. You got to know that they're going to be good.
It's true.
I wonder how, Brad...
you could mess up anything when you're grilling.
Yeah. I mean, I have family members. I've
had bad ribs.
Make terrible spaghetti. I was like, how the fuck do you fuck up? I can make spaghetti, and that's like a step up from cereal, right? It's like...
It really
it's
is.
It's like hot cereal.
It's like tomato cereal.
Exactly. Instead of the milk, it's...
Cereal.
It's a good cereal. I like it so much.
Do you use skin on chicken pieces?
Yeah.
So I think that makes a big difference too. Because I did have some grilled wings that had like the skin on and stuff, and that was pretty tasty.
So there's the site that I like. It's called AmazingRibs.com.
Who's grilling skinless chicken?
I'm gonna try that.
Weight Watchers barbecue.
Dale, like, he's over in Laurel, man. They fucking psychos out there.
You've talked about that AmazingRibs.com thing.
You overpronounce that G, and it makes me feel uncomfortable. But yeah. AmazingRibs.com.
I have amazing good enunciation. I will not apologize for that.
Fucking robot person out there. That's what he's saying. Something's off about
you're
that
right.
guy.
Feisty as shit tonight, man.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Amazing chicken. It's good. I like this.
Oh,
so, y'all do anything for July 4th? Yeah, you know, get your fireworks.
We went and watch fireworks on July 3rd in the parking lot of a grocery store.
Sweet.
Walmart. Everybody make it out alive?
Mm-hmm.
That's
barely.
Good. I don't even mess with fireworks.
I'm not a big fireworks guy, man. I just, like, after I turned 8, I was like, okay, and then, you know, I'm done. I'm not super excited about this.
I used to love them, and I was just not into it. Susie wanted to go, and it seemed like she wanted to go, and so I was like, well, let's go do it. It's fine. We'll sit in our car and listen to music and drink beer. But I don't know. I don't know if it's that we're older or that there's so much, like, spectacle today, you know, in our everyday lives that it just loses its luster. It's not like, oh my gosh, where can you ever see this? Yeah. You see that kind of stuff nonstop.
Yeah, like we avoided it and we could see it, I guess, because we're near downtown and then we saw fireworks and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It still doesn't do it for me. I think we mentioned this every 6 months, New Year's.
At least annually.
We'll keep saying it.
Yet, there are still fireworks stands everywhere.
Yeah,
so somebody has to be buying them, right?
My cousin,
like, people want to offend, they get like super hyped about it. Like, we'll get
fucking my cousin is obsessed.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the watching it so much that they enjoy, blowing things up.
Sure, man.
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. My granddad used to have. I mean, he would like we'd pop fireworks or whatever, but I just enjoyed the bonfire thing that he had. He just have a big fire going, like that was more
that's cool
than the fireworks. But I don't know. Did you guys see this article about
French girls?
French girls. the rewilding of the cranberry bog in Massachusetts.
Nah.
No.
Y'all didn't
read but it. I heard mention of it.
You heard me tell
that sounds awesome. Yeah. I would definitely read that whole thing. So she basically read it. I'd give her credit for that.
Yeah.
Did you read it, Dale? Did you see it at all?
I didn't even see it. I don't know how I missed it.
So
sounds interesting.
Yeah. There's lots of little details about it, but for our purposes, they are. Like, it was an old Ocean Spray farm. Like, it's owned, and it provided 1%.
Did the one in the commercial?
Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe it would be. But it was a cranberry bog. It used to be just like an old, I don't know what the fucking world, just like a wetland, and they turned into a farm for cranberries. Yeah, it's called a cranberry bog. Turns out, didn't know that. And
I think they tell us that in the Ocean Spray commercials.
Yeah, 1% of all the cranberries that Ocean Spray would get. But now that Ocean Spray is like, yeah, we forget how to do it in fucking Arizona, so fuck you guys. And so they're like, all right, well, what are we going to do with this shit? So a combination of money from the federal government, from the state government, and the owners, they turned it into its original self. I think the coolest part was that like some of the original, see, they said they've been dormant for 100 years. They started growing again. And they did a whole lot. So they didn't just say, all right, we'll just fucking leave it here. They looked at the soil pattern to figure out where the water used to run and, like, dug a trench to, like, get the streams streaming again and all kinds of shit. They did it right, I guess.
It's sort of surprising to me, like, how much work they put into it. Because so my idea of, like, letting the wild take over is just be like, well, I guess I'm going to stop mowing the grass. You know, and just see what happens. But they really, I mean, it sounds like they put, what did they say? They had funding from federal government, the owners, and like the state.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I mean, all that was cool. And I think it tells you like how significant of a job it is to do all these kinds of things. And I've been saying.
To undo things?
To undo these things. I've been saying this like, you know, so when I was in the master's program for urban and regional planning and shit, a lot of talk is about like Detroit, right? Places like Detroit, Rust Belt. What do you do with all these abandoned factories? Like, what do you do? And everybody and her mom and her and their
Did Diaz, you say manufactories?
What did I say? Did I say manufacturers? Maybe I did. They all have like an idea like for what to do with it. Like, well, we should turn it into, you know, housing, or we should do this, or we should do that. And I feel like that after a certain amount of time, like some of the owners or something like that should have responsibility to return it to its natural state.
Agreed.
And like if they don't want to do it, like they can pay like a tax over time so that way it could be done, you know? Because otherwise you have we're still stuck with it. We either have to deal with it. And a lot of people are like, what? That's a lot of burden on it. Like, well, if you build with this plan in mind, like eventually it could have to be returned to its natural state. Maybe you don't just abandon it. You don't just say, well, that's a Walmart.
I mean, I think that's a great idea, but like at what point do you demand that somebody return something to its natural state? I mean, like what if gentrification goes there? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a fully formed idea, but
maybe it would only apply to new construction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so
that'd be great because that stuff sucks.
Yeah. So in the case of this cranberry bog, right? Like the owner said, all right, well, we're just going to return it because it costs us too much money to own. At some point, you decide that. It happens to lots of places. Right now, we wait till it's absolutely bottom dirt cheap, and then we also incentivize shit like that, right? Lots of different ways in very specific areas have different ways of doing it, but it goes all the way to where they're like, please take this. You won't be taxed ever. Can you please take this? Because it costs so much money. You're like, well, I got to tear down this old gas station and treat the dirt because it was like poisonous for a while and do all these things. Like people have to do it. But if we're, you know, and like the guy, the old Texaco company that had it there just basically stripped all the good out of it and left. And was like, well, nobody was stopping for gas here anymore. So fuck it and fuck you guys here. And now you got to deal with it for another 50 years after I'm gone. Mm-hmm. If they were paying into a little, you know, a little fund, it doesn't even, you know, it could have gone towards defraying that cost so that way the next guy can come. So instead of just giving a tax break to a guy to say, please jump in here and do something with this old ass gas station, you can, you know, kind of work towards getting it back to a natural state where it's going to be desirable again, you know, would make it, made it an attractive lot in the first place. Anyway, these are things I was thinking.
It's an interesting, not thought about that much. That's interesting.
That is sort of a novel approach.
Especially interesting.
I don't know how you actually do it, but I think it is a sort of a cool idea.
So, as you guys are thinking about this, I know you're going to say something, Del. Consider examples like Walmart. I was reading today about, I think, they're talking about people in West Virginia that as coal mining's like declining and shit, and like they're like Walmart just said, well, we're changing our expansion plans. We were expanding to all these rural areas, but now we decided to focus more on the cities because we have to compete with Amazon, so we're going to close it. It was a clearing. It was empty. It went over there, and they built a fucking Walmart, big giant-ass Walmart. And now they're like, well, we're done. And so there's a giant, you know, 80,000-foot. Oh. Yeah, it's just sitting there. So right. Walmart, it's 10 years. Like, you could have foreseen that, right? Walmart could – they have enough money. You can close it down, destroy the building, move it out of the way, you know? Recycle some of the materials, plant some seeds, do some shit. But they won't. They're just like, well, we're done. Thanks for buying our shit. We're gone. And then that's it. So now it's just sitting there.
All right.
So what are you going to say, Dylan?
Just that in the idea or in the light of our modern culture where things are built, everything's made. All manufacturing things are meant to pretty much wear out over time. You know, like new houses are made shittily. You know, they really are. They don't think about, we talked about this on the last podcast, I think, or two podcasts ago. And if they were forced to if they were going to build, especially if they're going to build them where they were so easily broken anyway, like if they were going to deteriorate and wear down anyway, that with the knowledge that they were building them that way, but that they were also designing them so that they could be easily like the area could be easily restored to nothing. It kind of dovetails with that, with our whole, and capitalizes on that in a positive way, I think. Cause generally that idea of things being disposable is viewed very negatively, you know, the clothes and stuff that you buy and throw away after a month, or houses that you buy and they're falling apart in a year. And so you move somewhere else, is viewed just purely negatively. But if we start thinking about it or forcing or requiring those sorts of things to acknowledge, yes, that's what we're doing, but we're also making it easy and providing a way for it to be returned if people don't want to continue to invest in this area or in this building or in this whatever property to be returned to its natural state, that's cool. I rambled a lot there, but I think y'all got what I meant.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that was an awesome idea. I think part of the reason that they're crappily built in the first place is because it's all about the margin.
Yeah, of course.
And they, I think it would
capitalism, be
to incentivize
bro.
Just building them better.
Yeah, but maybe that's not. But maybe that's an outdated or an outmoded way of thinking, like, because people don't stay in the same place anymore. Like, this is a super hypermobile society now. And so maybe things shouldn't be built to last a billion years, you know?
True.
So Gina and I were reading, I was telling Gina as we're in the car, I was reading an Economist article that talked about, like, the difference between the way we do things and the way they do things in, I think it was Germany. So, like, I think someone was going to buy it. The article started with somebody going to buy a house. And then, like, the mayor was like, that's too much money. Don't pay for that. And then they kind of talked to the guy, and so then they lowered it by, like, $40,000. Like, they make it – like, the system is set up where it's different than here in that, like, you're not encouraged to make a whole lot of money, like, invest in a house, where we view buying a house as an investment, like, as a tool to – make money, like, so you
right,
and that has like a tendency, so you know, like, in order to adjust to those incentives, you do things differently, like you hoard land, like Brad was saying, you kind of focus on the margins, that we'll build them cheap, flip them, because you don't care about doing a net, you just buy more land, right, acquire the land cheaply, throw some more houses, sell them, done, on to the next plot. Well, there, like, the taxes for owning a home are like really expensive, and then the banks are not allowed to lend beyond 80% of the value of property, so they don't, you know, like, if you're going to buy, you need 20% of the property value down, and so then that kind of encourages you to really invest in the thing. It's not just a, you know, I'm going to flip it kind of deal. And yeah. And so then they also so that encourages like renting. So only a few people can kind of do it. And like the whole system is different because of all these changes. And it's like a holistic view of housing. Here, we don't really do that so much. You know, we look at it a different way. And so like the market reacts differently because we don't really penalize you for building a shitty house. Like maybe somebody's going to sue you, but like, yeah, whatever. I'm off. I'm running away. And you take your money and you run. And then we're like, well, you know, he's trying to make money. We can't punish him too much. Capitalism, free market. Yeah. So, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
I think if you grabbed all the pieces of us talking about housing all together and put it into one show, it'd make one really good show. Like 10-minute blurb.
It seems like every time we talk, or the more I think about capitalism, that term seems to connote glorification of exploitation.
Yeah.
And that's really what it means, is like we value the ability to exploit people and things and shit and get the maximum that we can out of that exploitation. And then the right of the person, the right of us to basically dupe other people and screw people over, you know,
right.
More than the right of a person to make money. It's the right of the person to screw somebody else over.
Absolutely. And it's like people, I mean, every, you know, the whole thing is sort of a big Ponzi scheme, right? Like the banks own the money. They're going to charge you a rate to access the money. You're trying to increase the value of property so you can get it over on somebody else. You know, and
I think the ideal form is more like a natural form. That, you know, like the system, life system, right? What is the thing holding you back? Is that you die, or there's like disease, or something else fucking kills you, or something like that, right? Like that's mm-hmm. how that's prevent you from owning all of the land. Because if one person was indestructible and, you know, unkillable, they would own the whole earth, right? Eventually they could, but they mm-hmm. die. So then you can't own it all. So you just own your small plot or whatever. And I guess when you have a corporation that exists indefinitely, they are the, you know, unkillable beast. You know what I mean?
And right. That's a good point.
Yeah, and so like they, you know, you look at like Disney. That's why I don't really like Disney so much. We had rules that said, all right, you know, you get to profit all your off your creation while you're alive. You know, I came up with Superman, and now I'm gonna die, and you know, now you guys can have Superman. Well, no, you can't. Because Superman's still owned by DC Comics, or, you know, Mickey Mouse is owned by Disney, and Disney's never going to die, so it's always going to be Disney. And they fought to extend the copyrights and all these things for longer and longer periods. And that's just an intellectual thing. It's not even talking about, like, land and property and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah, it does become, like, screw somebody over. And the system, that like, the check on all that is supposed to be, like, us, the government, that says, no, you can't do that. Now it belongs to the people, right? It's like a referee just kicking you back out there. Like, you're cheating. You can't hold them like that. You have to compete fairly. But when we stop, we keep letting the corporations, you know, quote-unquote, compete by just winning all the time, then nobody wins, actually. You know, right. Nobody gets to think of all the jobs that have been given out over redoing fucking Sherlock Holmes. How many goddamn times already?
Right.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's out there. Or, yeah, we were joking about the Iliad. All these kinds of things, people can remix them and do them again, and we can come up with it again. But you can't do your Mickey Mouse fan fiction or your takeoff on any of those things because why? We need to keep giving Disney more of our money, I guess? I don't know, because they need logos for the theme park.
And right. It's kind of like, if you can prove your lineage back to a castle holding in
Lane One
in Scotland, you can like basically own that. Like you can never lose that land, right? And yeah. So it's just disappeared over time, you know, the lineage or whatever. But if you can like prove that lineage, you can go back and basically own a castle or whatever. You can just take it from whoever is there. And that's kind of like Well, corporations are accepted that the lineage is not going to be lost.
Yeah. Because you got lawyers keeping you, keeping it alive, keeping it up in the air. Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you have a more upbeat note, Gina. Other than Disney's going to own your life and kill your farm and your bug.
No. I mean, I was going to say when you were talking about that I don't necessarily mind not being able to recreate Disney stuff because I complain about people remaking things over and over again anyway. Like, where's the creativity? We don't need another
Disney's doing that
version
now.
They're of just doing... their own. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, that's the thing is that, like, we don't know, you know, it's like way back, was it turn of the century? They're like, yeah, we can probably shut down the patent office because I think everything that was going to be invented is invented. You know, we got it. But, like, Disney made a killing off of doing animated movies of, you know, public domain fairy tales. Snow White, Cinderella, Pinocchio. Those are all classic tales that are not Disney-owned. You know, even Aladdin, which is, you know, a version of, you know, other things. But we can't do that to them. They don't. That's fine if they do that. It's like a plant growing on this land, a tree growing, using all the nutrients of what? All the other plants and animals and shit that's died in that area. They use it, but when the tree's time is done, the tree dies, and it gives back so some other tree can grow.
Right.
And now we need Disney to die.
Die, tree!
That's essentially what the whole podcast has been about.
In a nutshell.
Disney should die.
Die, Disney.
Is that going to be a title? Die, make me die.
I like it.
We can wait for Brett to come back. Are we still doing the movie thing, Gina? Do you have any hot sports movies to
watch? I mean, the last movie I suggested
was what?
That documentary last episode.
Oh, yeah, the old. We can talk about it right now. I watched it. Did you?
I forgot about it, but I will watch it tomorrow.
It has fucking olds. Got it. Done.
Do you have anything to add to what I said about it?
What did you say? You said it watchable that for you watched else. It and that it made you think about life and keeping active and doing things and enjoying every moment. Yeah, I think it's part of a whole...
It changed you for the hour after you watched it like it did me?
No, because I fell asleep.
But before I fell asleep, I was a new man.
No, I mean, I think there is something to it. Like, I was thinking about consistency and having a purpose. A lot of the shit they do, they all do it all the time. Like, I wake up, I have breakfast at this time, I take a nap, and I do that. And studies have shown that's really, really, I think more, besides your genetics, it's doing that and, like, having a purpose. Like, those three things. Like, having a routine, your body likes routines, and, you know, nothing to excess and all that other good stuff. Like,
moderation.
All the things that they tell you that are good for you are good for you, and then they keep you alive a long time. Like, everybody you talk to, and they're like, well, what's your secret? I'm like, well, I smoke one cigar every day. And they're like, well, that cigar's good for you. And they're missing the point that it's not really having a cigar that's good for you. It's being consistent. Like, they don't ever have 8 cigars, you know? They have their one, and that's it. And they eat a little bit of food, and, you know, whatever it is, they always take their walk. And that combined with the genetics and whatever else, that's what keeps them alive. You know, body keeps ticking until it can't anymore. And I feel like the purpose, the last part, I think they all had a purpose. Like, Dick Van Dyke is still... like doing Dick Van Dyke shit. He's still dancing. He's still Dick Van Dyke, and he stays in shape. But they all, like, and then Carl Reiner likes to get up and write all the time, you know? Like, it is very similar to the other things we were talking about, how, like, when the people retire, they quit working, they die because they lose all their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reason they were getting up every day was so they can go to work. They felt useful.
So do you think you'll ever retire?
I feel like I would have some purposes. I'd figure out something to do. I don't know.
What about you, Del? What do you think about retirement?
I don't feel like... I've been watching this documentary on the Grateful Dead on Amazon Prime. It's excellent. I don't even like the Grateful Dead, and I think it's amazing. But they talk about Jerry Garcia, how...
Good ice cream.
he felt like he was so lucky because he never had to work a day in his life. And I mean, right now I'm really not working, but I'm working a little bit. I do have jobs, but they don't feel like jobs. You know, they just feel like what I'm doing what I enjoy, and I'm getting paid to do that. You know, I'm doing what I want. And there are times where it is work, but it's not like, I'll never feel like, oh my gosh, like this drudgery. Yeah. So I feel like I'm going to be doing this my whole life, whether it's in an official capacity or not. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, whether I'm making money at it or not, I'm still going to be making music. You know, when I'm not directing choirs, I'm singing in choirs or playing in bands and not making money doing that. So,
yeah. I think along those lines, talking about like a purpose or something like that, I think what stood out to me was a lot of those people's like heyday when you look back on them, they were like in their 30s or whatever. I'm in my 30s. It seemed like so long ago, but there's like so much ahead of you. You're like, oh shit, there's so much fucking life ahead of you. And, you know, tying into like, you know, being consistent and all that other stuff, I feel like you just got to adjust your life pace to keep it at a steady jog, you know, like don't burn out. You know, like I was thinking about like work, I'm like, I was working like 12 hours that day or whatever, something like that. And I was like, that's not that great. Like, what are you doing? You know, you just keep it steady so you can keep going, so you can keep going, so you can keep going. And, I mean, I don't know. I think you have to obviously find a way to balance that with actually investing time and energy. Because I'm not to say that working a 12-hour day is bad for you, but not all the time.
I think that people are different. Like, I'm way more the type of person that I like to, like, get super obsessed about something and get really into it for, like, a month or two straight and, like, work nonstop at it and think about it all the time. And then completely disconnect for like a few weeks, you know, like that's more my ebb and flow rather than just like a few hours a day. I'm not very good at that, you know, at constant steadiness. So
I know, and we've talked about this before, and that I feel like I'm similar that way. And I mean, one of the purposes of doing this fucking show was to have a little bit more of a rhythm.
Mm-hmm. We did it.
Yeah. So that way, I mean, because I think that's good, but it's also unsustainable. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people that you can't do it to the same length of time. And so I feel like if you have some ability to kind of have something, like some kind of metronome keeping you steady, like for the most part, you know, you dive in for a month and then stop. But if there's something that you do all the time, like that's good for you.
Wake up.
So yeah. I've been. Wake up. But so I've been kind of, you know, some things that I don't really like to do. I can't get up and water the grass every day. I don't know. It's not really my thing. But I've been consciously trying to find some of those things to do in my life. Like every day I'm going to try to do this one thing, something very small, just to kind of keep me, like, I guess, oriented on something. And for some people, it's like yoga.
Pod person?
Yeah. Some people, it's like yoga. It's like, it's waking up and praying. It's an exercise. It's a jog. It's whatever it is. But, you know, I choose podcasting.
Yeah. It's cool.
I choose us. All right. You get Fuck Brad, right? Talk him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Deranged Painting Podcast.
Goodbye.
So we went to Olive Garden, and before you kill us, and, you know, you should, just listen to this.
It's the Applebee's of Italian food.
No, I mean, it was like, so we were hungry, we're like,
not TGI Fridays,
we didn't really plan any dinner, so we're like, let's stop somewhere, and I was like, you know what, Olive Garden, they got the breadsticks, whatever it is there, non-tasteful food, we're just going to get fucking breadsticks and a glass of wine, that's, you know. It's either that or, like, McDonald's, you know? But we can have a whole meal, we sit down, you know, it'd be fine. So we go in, and, yeah, hostess is there. She's like, just the two of y'all? And it's two of us plus the kid. because we picked her up on the way home. And we're like, you know, I made the same joke I make all the time. Well, yeah, you know, like 2 1/4. Most hostesses or host dudes laugh at that, you know. It's my dad joke. And she just kind of like nodded, like, okay. And then she was like, well, we're going to get more cedars. So hang on a second. And we're like, okay. So Gina's like, well, I got to use the restroom anyway. She goes to the restroom. Kid and I sit down. So we're sitting. And I'm expecting them to sort this out because it's not really busy. Like, you can see swaths of empty seats.
Like, as soon as we walked up, a cedar walked away to seat someone, right?
Yeah, so I was like, all right.
So we're waiting on that person to come back.
Person to come back. It'd be fine. So I'm sitting there, and then, like, 3 other people walk in. Another blonde chick walks over, and then she seats them, like, immediately. And I was like, did I hear something wrong? Like, I'm like, you know, it's like 5 o'clock. I'm kind of like a little bit out of it, you know, because of work all day. I'm like, maybe I just heard her wrong. Maybe she said once. I don't know what. I was thinking all the things I could possibly think. We're sitting there and the kid, she's looking and kind of waving. And like the hostess just completely doesn't acknowledge us. And I'm like, God, am I turning into the ancient guy now? I just feel like I demand good service. So Gina comes back, sits down. And they're like up
not
there
joking.
Not
that much time had passed, guys.
Yeah. 38 minutes later. Gina comes back. And then, so they were like talking and chatting and laughing there.
Yeah, now there's like the hostess plus 2 seaters.
And they're like talking. I don't know what they're doing.
So there's a whole bunch of people up here.
And so then the chick looks up at us and says,
did you want a seat?
And we're like, as we're sitting down, I was like, I didn't know what to answer. I was like,
we both look at each other like,
what is it?
what gave it away?
So what I said was, are you asking us if we want to be seated? Yeah, we still want to be seated. I mean, we're like 3 feet away from her on the waiting bench. You know what I mean? So, like, you guys want to take a seat? I'm thinking, do you want a seat
because you're standing? But we're sitting down.
So right. I was thinking, I was expecting, do you want to wait at the bar? Or are you ready? Like, we're ready for, I don't know what, something along those lines. But I was really thrown off by,
anything other than follow me or follow that person was confusing.
Yeah. So.
So you never figured out? They just took, what'd you say? And they took you to your seat?
Well, then the next person kind of, we followed them.
They, like, awkwardly were like, yeah, do you want to come this way?
Yeah, but none of them seemed to realize that was weird. Like, so,
I guess we'll go sit down now again.
Yeah. All that
maybe
was
the
weird.
Alternative was eating where we were.
I would, yeah. That would weird me out. I'd be like, I think I would go back and be like, I just want to know, like, what did you think was happening when we were sitting there waiting for a table and you sat other people in front of us? Like, what was that?
I don't know. The hell? Yeah, and then we get taken back to a table and it's, like, empty in there. So I don't understand what we were waiting on.
Like, you know, every once in a while you feel, like, a little self-conscious. Like, am I the weird one? Do I say things that are weird?
Yeah.
Like, do I give off a weird vibe? So I'm glad Gina was there because I felt like
we were both weird.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? What? What?
Everything tasting all right?
Table for 3? but the breadsticks tasted like breadsticks, and that was fine.
That's all you can ask for.
And I was like, McDonald's fries of like 1990, I guess. And then Olive Garden breadsticks. Church's chicken biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
And
all starches to die for.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are all really good.
It's capitalism. True.
I'm glad Brad came back for that.
Yeah.
Well, he's over there like playing with his toys or whatever. So yeah. You know.
This actually is sort of like a toy.
Quit diddling your middle on the show.
Do you have anything to close out the after show? Thank you.
Wish, man.
No.
Wish.
Wish. I'm gonna
stuff.
That's an